Welcome back to the Ink Sink. I am Annie.
I'm Kaylee.
And this is the publishing podcast for the rest of us. Today, we are talking about the state of local news.
What a state.
It's this horrible state. Really low. Just not cool stuff there.
It's unfortunate.
How are you doing, Kaylee?
I'm doing pretty good other than this topic and the depressing nature of the news in general.
Yeah.
And how what this specific topic kind of and how it kind of intersects with the depressing topic of like national news, etc.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that surprised me the most about what we do in this podcast is how often we talk about news about the news.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize how much is encompassed in this industry. It's
a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got a lot going on. People wanting to get their news. These weirdos.
Or some section of the news and not other sections of the news and how you get it and et cetera. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting.
So let's dive in, Kaylee. Let's tell us about the history of our local news. You said you did some research on our history.
I did. It was really interesting. There was actually at least one article that said that the downfall of local news could be traced back to like the 1920s, which Ooh. I thought was really funny because that's pretty much when standards started being applied. So I was laughing. There's something interesting there based on our discussion of like editing standards previously.
If you were interested in that, we have an episode on fact checking and I'll link that in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Thank you. So when you start looking at news as a national resource, I guess, was the idea in this particular article, which I believe came from the Oxford University Research Archive. So I actually located an interesting study by Joy Jenkins, who is a postdoctoral research fellow at Reuters, and Rasmus Kleiss Nielsen, who was the director of research at Reuters and also a professor of political communications at Oxford, which is presumably where they got the end of the press. So the overall nature of local news necessitates a much narrower focus and also is now being dramatically less funded, of course. And the overall like infrastructural support needed to do the digital transitions has really been an issue for local news agencies. So the overall industry has transitioned because of digital news being critical across the board for just the amount of information that's constantly available to us. You need to have that infrastructure available to provide that content out to your readers. Well, a small mom and pop news agency that's your, you know, Clarksville Gazette or whatever, your local Gazette is not necessarily going to have the technical people, the staff. A lot of the time they've got like one or two labor of love people that are like, it's all nonprofit and they're just doing their best to survive. And they've got like volunteer IT, they've got volunteer writers, you know, just people out in the community doing their best. And so they just don't have the ability to do that transition work that's needed or to do it quickly. And that's been the issue so far. And like, because they couldn't necessarily transform their business model in response, they lost their funding and then they had to shut down, which is not necessarily as obvious as it could be. And I'll tell you why. In 2015, there was a study by the Washington Post that actually showed the number of journalistic jobs in major cities like Los Angeles and Washington increased. So between 2004 and 2015, it increased, like overall, the postings.
But outside of those areas.
They decreased by 25%. Yeah. So like the total number of reporters and correspondents went down. So total. Wow. For, in all of the areas. Over 10,000 positions.
And those are almost entirely local news.
And positions. Those were almost like across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really frightening because we have a crisis of nationalized news right now where everything is being pushed and it's partisan, which is an issue. And there's definite support across the board for, as we had talked about a bit before, local news is. It matters so much more than partisan news. Like, it affects you every day. I understand infrastructurally why it is sound business to have, especially somebody, an organization that is focused on the national news, to be based out of a location that can easily travel. Transit hubs are important. And again, especially in the United States, where we are primarily knowledgeable on, for especially local and national politics, and like the cheapest flights and stuff, major hubs. Like there's a reason that these organizations have moved and are based out of these hubs.
Right.
But that was really hurting the local news because people want faster content and they can't get that content, unfortunately. And so, like, the smaller agencies are dying. Yeah, like, over 10,000 positions were lost.
Yeah. And in some newsrooms, that's everybody.
Everybody. Yeah. Literally entire, like, local newspapers.
I'm not sure that most people know this, but, like, a newspaper can be run by about 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like many, but, like, let's be real. If that newspaper goes under, those 4 people lost their jobs.
Yep. And that means that people that are potentially maybe full-time reporting on, like, local council meetings and your mayor election and mm-hmm. the PTA and any controversies that are occurring at your local library, you don't get to know any of that.
Right.
Like, you just, nobody's there to tell you about it. You have to find a way to get to that information somehow, which you have to go read the minutes that are posted individually at all of these different websites or published.
Hope that someone on your community page on Facebook is paying attention and is going to.
As long
you know.
As those community pages exist.
Right.
So, another interesting kind of note from the Oxford University Research Archive, Joy Jenkins and Rasmus Kleis Nielsen. We're trying to explain, like, the importance of local news organizations and the struggle that they're undergoing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as they've transitioned over the last, say, 10 years-ish, organizations, like these local news organizations, are tailored to the specific areas that they serve, but tend to have fewer resources and less complex infrastructures for digital production, as well as overall support for journalistic review and revision. They just don't have the time or maybe always the education or knowledge to go through and present multiple perspectives or do the fact checking that's needed or whatever. The lack of support and provisioning has been very painful. It's just been very difficult to read about, unfortunately. And like, yeah. The fact that there's clear evidence that it supports a more robust understanding and like less nationalization, like, which is desperately what we need right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a national divide because of our political parties right now. Like, we need to refocus, I think, on the local level, because it does bring people to the table as a discussion rather than just a shouting match.
Absolutely.
So, Annie, tell me what you learned about local
news. I mean, there's so much to unpack here. Like, it's hard to know where to start. I think that you're right that starting with, like, the importance of local news is really, if nothing else, we really want to drive home. I found a bunch of stuff that we actually lose when we lose our local news. So there's a loss of appreciation and engagement with local figures. There's this story from the Washington Post where they were on the ground in a very small town talking to local voters who were going to be voting for local politicians, and how the conversation was almost entirely about national politics and had nothing to do with the local issues that these people were talking about, because they had no idea. They had no idea what their local leaders were trying to fix or trying to do or anything. They just saw, you know, Democrat and thought, oh, that's AOC's party. And then they saw Republican, like, oh, that's Trump's party. And nothing else was going to get through to them. It had no bearing. It didn't matter what those people's policies were, whether they agreed with them, that kind of thing. It was an absolute issue. There's another one from the Washington Post as well, who has just a ton of coverage on this. Another thing that we lose when we lose local news is attention on missing persons cases. And this is something that we actually just don't see. Like, it's something, obviously, you don't see what you don't see, but it's where missing people are by necessity.
Local.
Yeah, they're absolutely. Local. And if no one is reporting on it, then, you know, it sounds dumb, but no one is reporting on it. No one knows that this person's missing. The awareness is limited to the people directly in their community, which, you know, helpful, but what would be more helpful is if the entire community were able to be activated to deal with a missing persons case. From Neiman Lab, I found this article, and we'll link most of these sources in there. I'm kind of going through rapid fire just because, you know, I genuinely don't have time to go into every single one of these and all of the reasons that we need our local news. When you end up in a news desert, you don't know, again, as Kaylee said, what's going on. What's going on in the state house? What is going on in your community? We have this kind of stopgap, as I said, of these like social media groups, but they are opt-in, not unbiased. They're not held to any standards. It's just a bunch of people yelling at each other. I mean, how often do we see these viral posts of like insanity going on in the Nextdoor app? of just like someone being like, there's a turtle and turtles are evil. Like, everybody get the turtles out of the neighborhood. And you're like, what?
Turtles are fine.
What's going on? And it's a whole thing. Washington Post, of course, has been doing a really, really good job of covering this. I think Washington Post has a lot of local news sections. Mm-hmm. I found, of course, a million articles supporting what you said, that these news staffs are being cut, that state reporters are on the downtrend. We have to talk about trust in news media and, you know, just people not being able to support the journalists in their communities. And there's so much to unpack here, I'm not lying. It's a lot.
And it's really frustrating because, like, local news is really the best place right now to invest to regain trust or to build trust in your news brand, because that's where the trust is right now.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about the trust in news. Gallup released its recent poll about trust in news. It's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't trust their news. We can dig into it, but I think that's actually going to be a separate episode, just because, you know, the headline, of course, is that trust in news is bad. And digging deeper, it's the worst it has ever been. And the best that it ever was in like 1979. And it's been trending downward ever since.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so again, not a new issue, but certainly something that is placed into the spotlight and has a lot of pressure on it because of the nature of the beast right now.
Yeah. However, one encouraging little piece in there was that the trust in local news is extremely high. People absolutely want to get local news. I subscribe on Twitter to a newswire that just talks about Baltimore because I want to know what's going on in Baltimore, and there is tea in Baltimore right now. I think I told you about the whole Mosby situation. Bonkers. This is crazy.
It's so interesting because, I don't know, maybe it's just like we live in an interesting area, right. But like also we had, and some of this made national news, our issue with our last mayor.
No, yeah.
God, she, like,
Healthy Holly.
Oh my God, you guys, that was absurd. And she fled.
She fled.
She fled
the state.
That was just, anyway, it's fascinating, if nothing else.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, and I think that illustrates the point, like, our local news is bonkers. People are bonkers all over the place. I don't think that, I mean, Baltimore's a large city, but I don't think that it's necessarily weird to have crap going on in your neighborhood, in your locality. So let's talk about like some numbers. So I work in business reporting. So my instinct is always to look at the numbers.
Show me the
numbers.
So
local newsrooms did support a higher revenue in 2021 than it did in 2020, which is a good sign. You might be wondering, after everything that we just told you, how can that be possible? So the answer is that people are working on this. This is not a new problem. This isn't a problem that no one knew about. This is something that is getting a lot of attention. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that Axios is investing in local newsrooms to essentially work for them in like a local news capacity. Alphabet is investing in local news with its innovation lab. Google's innovation lab is pretty famous for working with news organizations in general to use its AI tools for news. So it's investing now in local newsletters. There are some newsrooms out there that are turning to news robots that are essentially just taking headlines and amalgamating them and turning them into original content. It's obviously going to be less in depth than your average news article, but sometimes there is no information other than there is a fire on this street. We don't know anything else. There haven't been any statements. There's just a fire. And it just started. Everybody's on their way. You know? Sometimes that is the news. Basically, the main way that local news today is being supported is the same way that your average newspaper is being supported, through subscriptions and advertisements. Local news pretty notoriously doesn't have great ad revenue, so it's almost entirely supported through subscriptions. There have been several new news startups that are entirely focused on subscriptions in like a neighborhood by neighborhood space. People who are working are getting awareness out through social media to say, you know what, someone needs to be covering our neighborhood. There's crap going on. I'm going to do it. And if you want to pay me money, please do. And there are tons of stories like this. Unfortunately, they're kind of running into the same problem that major news organizations are also running into, which is that staff is expensive. People are expensive. If you want someone who is an expert in the community, you have to pay them for that expertise. Same way you have to pay a science reporter for their science expertise. And that's a problem. And finding out ways to pay for these people to do their jobs is the main issue.
Eternally.
Eternally.
It's a problem. We live in a society, fam.
We do. Everything's capitalist. Capitalist. It's an issue. You know, we talk about news a lot of times as a public service, but it's actually not.
It's an industry. It's a business.
There is no right to news. There is right to free news, to the freedom of people who are wanting to be in news to then practice that. But there is no right for the average person to receive news.
So the local areas, your likeliest place to encounter people that don't necessarily have a lot of money. And it's the place that needs, especially right now, the journalism the most. So like, it's so difficult.
That's something we can really dig into. Like, we talked about how in New York and LA and wherever else, Chicago, there's a bunch of people who are like, the news industry is expanding there. But it's not local. Mm-hmm. No, people are paying for these news sources. Meanwhile, if you are just like, you know, in your maybe small-ish town and you want to know what's going on, like, why are all, like, half the streetlights out? Like, what's going on? Local news is who's covering that. And there's just not a ton of money out
there. Or, like, what happened? Why did all of the traffic lights go out, like, in downtown Springfield?
Right.
Like, why were all of the main district lights out? Exactly. Like, what's going on?
People need to know this news. People want to know this news. So one of the other main ways that newsrooms have been funding themselves is through nonprofits. So they've essentially been reorganizing themselves or just starting from the ground up as a nonprofit. So they are able to take advantage of grants. They're able to take advantage of national programs. They're able to take advantage of state funding to get some of this money that they need to put out the local newsletters. Another big way, and we've seen this also in scholarly publishing and other types of publishing, is to partner with a larger news source. So
WBAL.
Right. The Chicago Tribune is a big one. I don't remember their name. They keep changing it. It was Trunk a couple years ago, and before that it was the Tribune. I think now it's Tribune Companies? I'm not positive. So it owns several local news organizations, which is good. It does solve the short-term funding problem. But once you're in with those national organizations, you can't get out. You're now a part of them. And if they decide that they don't like you anymore or don't care,
you don't get that funding, and you don't have any warning that you need to find an alternative revenue stream.
Did you find the tea on Alden Capital? There's tea.
Annie, spill it.
All right. There was a 60 Minutes report, and this is also supplemented with information from Pointer, which is a journalist resource. I'm gonna read you some of this. So the headline is, "Local newsrooms strained by budget-slashing financial firms. The newspaper industry is in a state of decline." Not exactly a stop the press's headline. For two decades now, owing largely to the loss of advertising revenue to Facebook and Google, fewer and fewer Americans get their news, comics, and sports from all those gazettes and tribunes and journals. But that doesn't tell the whole story. There is an additional threat. Hedge funds and other financial firms that now own nearly a third of the daily papers in America. And these new owners are often committed not to headlines and deadlines, but to the bottom lines. One fund in particular has been called by some in the industry, a vulture, bleeding newspapers dry. It all prompts the question, as local newsrooms and local news coverage shrivel up, to what extent does democracy shrink with it? Obviously extremely sensationalist, but accurate.
No, I agree.
So that comes from 60 Minutes. Alden Capital has been, so it'll buy up one of the newspapers. And as we said, most newspapers are funded by either subscriptions or advertising. And I think I just kind of glossed over this, but most advertising revenue has been gobbled up on the internet and elsewhere by Facebook and Google. So those revenues are declining. Subscription revenues are declining because people just can't justify paying for news when it's so much smaller. And also, again, we talked about how expensive these staff members are. So
people have to eat.
Paying for the news as a business is not a profitable business. News has never been super profitable.
Again, circling back, there's a reason BuzzFeed News just got its massive overhaul.
Yeah, it's been tough out there. So these private equity companies are buying up these newsrooms, and they're saying, well, you know, you're not getting money from anywhere else, and we can solve that problem. We'll give you a large influx of cash. You'll just answer to us. And then they will start cutting services.
They wanted access to the info that you as a news organization in that particular community had.
Yeah.
And that's a one-time ask that they get. They don't have to continue to support your agency.
Yeah,
they've got absolutely. It after that.
These capital companies will just jump in, buy the newspaper, squeeze it for all it's worth, and move on. And it's very upsetting. So basically, what Alden is doing is they'll take your local news, they'll stop covering sports, they'll stop covering, you know, local theater. And instead, they will just add in, like, you know, a syndicated column on just national sports and national theater, national movies, and talking about entertainment. And the only quotes they'll have are from six people from Los Angeles, but you're in Illinois.
Yep.
So you're not only not getting the news, you're not even getting anything different in your news than you would be getting from a generic other newspaper, and that is a sure way to make those subscriptions fall, because
they're not local to you. They're not. There's no context for you in your community.
Right. There's just nothing there for you, so they'll start dying. And Alden Capital or companies like it will say, oh, well, it seems like you guys are just not doing well, so we'll just shut you down. And it's like, what did you get out of this? Other than, like, the quick cash payout of having a couple subscribers hang on for that long, now we're all just gone.
I mean, it's come up a few times, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this play out or shake out in the future, if it's just a PII sale sort of deal.
What does that mean?
Like names, emails, contact info. Oh. They've got that to sell.
Yeah. They're just like getting the lists. That's so cynical. I hope that's not the case.
I hope so. Hope not. You know what I mean? But like, what else? I mean, genuinely.
I live in the real world and I'm over here like, that's sad.
No. I mean, like, I try not to. But also, like, genuinely, like, you can only do the same thing and get the same result so many times where it's not going well for you before somebody starts saying, well, what else are you getting out of this? Because, like, if a person was doing this, I would think they were a masochist.
Yeah.
But if a company is doing this, then I'm thinking they're doing something behind the scenes to make this worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the meantime, corruption is just going right
always
in City Hall. Like, in the meantime, corruption is all over the place on your school board or something, and you would never know about it. You would mm-hmm. never hear about it.
Yep.
It's bonkers. Most of local news projects that are starting up today are people like in their garage or in their basements being like, I want to know what the fuck is going on at my kid's school. Or like, I want to know why the fuck these potholes are not getting filled. Like, what is going on?
Tell me about this man who's personally filling in these potholes.
They're like just frustrated that no one is covering this, so they start to do it. And they found different ways to monetize that to keep, you know, themselves in business, to keep it going. As I was talking about earlier, they've been able to use social media to get attention and, you know, a lot of crowdfunding. Some lovely people have agreed to fund these things for limited amounts of time and make sure that the news is available for free. Some people are going the nonprofit route, getting grants and loans and state resources to report on the news in their local area. But that still leaves a big gap. I mean, businesses, unfortunately, do need things like legal representation. They do need things like accounting. They do need things like HR, IT. How do you manage that when it's like you and your begrudging spouse in your basement and you just bought, like, an inkjet printer? You know, how do you do that? What do you do?
And how do you, as a person that doesn't have any training in journalistic reporting, like, we've already talked about this, and it's coming back around, like, standards are important. Like, people don't trust the news because maybe something didn't necessarily meet their standards. Well, okay. Now you're the person, as somebody that was complaining, now you're the person responsible for the news.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have
how do you fix it?
You don't have a legal representative to tell you what you can and can't say. Mm-hmm. To be like, hey, actually, this is libel. You can print it, but you have to print it this specific way. You can express your opinion, absolutely, but it has to be labeled as an opinion because you are a news source. You have to be responsible with your power. So what do you do? Well, there are new startups that are working on this by pooling these resources, pooling like an HR system. So these news organizations are able to remain independent, but they can get access to these tools, these HR and legal and accounting tools. One is Lion Capital, which is, you can look at, it's a public company, so all of their data is available. Northwestern University's State of Local News reports found that about 70 million Americans, which is a fifth of the news population, live either in a news desert or at an area at risk of becoming one. However, they also found that these local news startups are doing really well in the U.S. and they are growing. So I think that we can very safely say people want to get their local news and they are going to find ways to do it. But I do think we need to talk about social media. Mm-hmm. Kaylee, think? I told you this before. I think that social media is going to be the future of this because Facebook communities we've talked about are really where a lot of people are getting this information.
Well, I think there needs to be something. I think it needs to have a different platform because, again, Facebook itself is going a different direction, and they're pulling away from community-based content, which is absurd to me, but that's specifically what they've said. I think that we need to have something that has clear standards, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're 100% correct, and I do think a community-based social media for news and that connects maybe freelancers or people that are freelancing while actively employed in urban centers or whatever, if they are geographically close enough to do this sort of reporting. Or even just like locals that are like studying at different colleges or doing online education because that's, you know, growing as well. I mean, any of that, whatever it takes to do that connecting, we need it. Like 100%, we're in a situation in the country right now where we need to step back and reevaluate what actually matters because you're screaming about stuff that will never impact you and you're trying to support a person that has never considered your lifestyle and your background and your ability to feed your children. Like you're like trying to support them instead of like your local like politician for whichever party that you're in that actually wants to help you personally and help your kids on the ground every day. Like that's absurd to me. And we need to refocus for sure because national politics are informed by local politics.
Absolutely. And I mean, life is informed by your local politics too. Like you have to deal with that. It seems like there's no perfect option. I mean, talking about like paywalls, nonprofits, grouping together, social media, like there's no perfect solution.
There's not, but I do think that it's heartening and promising that we are seeing more local options and just the collaboration being the answer for any forward movement right now is not surprising to me because as a race, that's how we've made all of our steps forward.
Do you have a Kaylee coming for us?
Invest in your local news. I can't stress enough. Like, find a local news source, subscribe to it. If they do fundraisers, do what you can to support them, even if it's not monetarily. I do think that it's critical.
Thanks for listening. I'm Annie.
I'm Kaylee.
And you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Anchor.
Took a minute. That's fair. That's fair.
Sorry. You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Bookshop. Bookshop. You can find us on Bookshop. We list all the books that we talk about, and you can see all of our show notes on Anchor and Apple Podcasts and
Spotify and Stitcher and Google Podcasts if you would like to.
And he has cast a wide net.